read the first eight verses, but...
Where?
The first eight, Revelation's 21, the first eight verses, but I want to dwell on verse 7, one part of verse 7. It just caught my attention. Revelations. Revelations 21, 1 through 8. Ready? Thank you. Let's look at this. I was just going to read one verse, but this is too good to not read the first seven verses, and we'll close this morning's message in verse 8 on a down note. But I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. We'll stop there. This seventh verse, he says, He that overcometh shall inherit all things. That's what I want to look at. Shall inherit all things. Now, literally, out of the Greek, it is... to inherit all things literally is to be an heir. An heir. An heir. He that overcometh shall be an heir over all things. Inherit all things. They're synonymous. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now let's look at other texts to kind of maybe expand this thought of inheritance or to be an heir. Which, when you're talking about an heir, you're talking about adoption. But we're, Thomas Watson, I pulled the old Body of Divinity out the other day, and because I remember from 40 years ago reading that, and he has a section on adoption that is just absolutely amazing. So we're not going to talk about adoption, at least for today, not yet, but it's just so good. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. He shall inherit all things. He as the elect. We shall inherit all things. Why? How can this be so? Well, God, at verse 1 of chapter 1, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Psalm chapter 2. Now, if we're in Christ, he's appointed him heir of all things. If we're in Christ, we're going to inherit all things. Psalms chapter 2. And verses 6 through 8. Psalms chapter 2. Now obviously we know who this is speaking about. Once I begin reading. Psalms chapter 2 verses 6 through 8. Yet have I sent my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. So he's speaking of Christ. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. And Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verses 14 through 17. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. Again, we're speaking of us as heirs and what our inheritance will be. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children, we are the heirs of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Joint heirs with Christ. Now the first question, obvious question, before we get any further and see what this inheritance includes, how does one become an heir? How does one become an heir? Well, I'll show you how you don't become an heir. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 18, Galatians 3, verse 18. We're speaking about inheritance. Verse 3, verse 18. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it, what? An inheritance to Abraham by promise. So what is this saying? Law. If inheritance, if you could become an heir by the law, that is, any principle you and I obey by the sinner in order to obtain or gain satisfaction or righteousness. That's the law. If the inheritance be of the law, free will? Nope. What about if you do? What about if you do right and you do good? You're good to your neighbor. You're good to your wife. You don't beat your animals. You just do all these good things. That's doing. Any principle obeyed by the sinner or the person in order to obtain or gain satisfaction or righteousness. In other words, works. Whether they're good or indifferent, by our supposed free will, not by this means. And I got to thinking, based on our conversation, if a person is dead in trespasses and sins, now we're not talking, when Adam died, he said, when Adam died in the garden, did he die physically? Eventually. It's not what God was speaking of. He died spiritually. He didn't die physically at that moment. How can a dead sinner, how can dead folk do anything, let alone any type of goodness towards God? Again, the problem is depravity. The problem is depravity. We've said this from this pulpit. I've said it because I've heard it from other pulpits. If you're wrong on the fall, you're wrong on it all. And that's the depravity of man and the sovereignty of God. Those are the two. And I know substitution, people get all get all excited about particular redemption. But the reason why they get excited is because they don't know how sinful they are. Let's go back to that point. That's the problem. So again, I asked the question, how does one become an heir? Well, the scripture says by the election of grace, which is according to promise. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Being born again, says Peter, all who are born again, of not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul says to the Thessalonians, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." They're all interconnected. You can't say I'm saved and then live an unholy life or could care less. And I think I put it in this bulletin, the article by Moose. Yeah, I think so. About Moose Parks. He says, if somebody says they got saved, well, first of all, when they hear the truth, they think it's a pure form of the truth. When they hear the gospel, God on the throne, man in the gutter, and Christ saving sinners. When they hear, they will acknowledge that God doesn't save through Armenian. He doesn't save through, you know, fault. He doesn't do that. But then yet they'll hang on to that profession. He said, and I think he said, Moose said, there's two things wrong with that. One is God doesn't use the air just to save sinners. He doesn't use falsehood to save sinners. And two, they're unwilling to let go of their profession. That's the two issues. So how do we become an heir? How do we become an heir? How, if we are to inherit all things because we're heirs, how is this done? It's done by election of grace. It's done according to promise, not of merit, not of worth, not of works, but of Christ and his work for us. Now, back to our text. We, those who overcome, shall inherit all things. What do these redeemed sinners inherit? It says all things. Well, we just stop right there. What benefits he daily loads us with. What is such the beauty of this? These are just some things, some benefits that he daily loads his people with. But before I go there, what is so beautiful about this inheritance? Well, that's according to promise in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4. You don't have to turn there. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again, adoption unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to an inheritance." That's what we're talking about, inheriting all things. This inheritance, if it comes from God, is incorruptible, it's undefiled, it fades not away, and it's reserved in heaven for the heirs, for you. That's 1 Peter 1 verse 4. So it's this inheritance, all that it includes two things: inheritance in time, right now, and in eternity. In time and in eternity. It's two things. And really, in reality, they're one and the same. If you have this inheritance now, if God has revealed himself to you in grace and mercy and truth, is revealed to yourself what you are, what I am, we can already enjoy the inheritance. It's just a foretaste of what we're going to enjoy hereafter. One, in time, this inheritance is the first fruits. In eternity, it's the harvest. In time, this inheritance is the earnest. In eternity, it's the full sum. Nothing held back. There is an inheritance here, there's an inheriting here below, and there's an inheriting above. Here below, we inherit God's grace. We didn't know him. In the fullness of time, he revealed himself to us. We didn't know grace. We didn't love God. We weren't interested. And now we're adopted. We're interested. We heard the truth. He turned us from ourselves and unto him. We're interested. That inheritance is God's grace. It's God's love. It's God's mercy experienced. And then in eternity, it'll be fully realized. We have peace here within, but glory hereafter. Pardon below and glorification above. The beginning of rest, but then the fullness of rest in heaven. The believer does have rest. You know, there's people that I've seen who know the gospel and the Lord, and they come to the end of their life, and you can't shake them. They just so restful, so peaceful. So this, and is all done by the sovereign grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, or any woman, or any boy or girl should boast. And I ask you these questions as far as inheritance. Looking back at David, what did David do to become king? He was out in a field tending sheep when the prophet came and said to Jesse, where are your sons at? Oh, surely this is the one. Surely this is the one. Surely this is the one. This. So you have any more? Yeah, but he's just a little ruddy, know nothing. He's out and get him. What did he do? He was chosen of God. Okay, I ask you, what about Samuel? What about Elijah? Elisha? These prophets, what did they do to become prophets? They were chosen. They were called. And I ask you, what did we do to gain this inheritance? This inheritance. What did we do to become an heir? Nothing. It's just like our birth. We had nothing to do with our birth. Not a single thing. Blessed be the God and Father who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, who chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's what we had to do. We're recipients. We're recipients. And if we ever get into looking at adoption, it's just, you just want to either holler for joy or just bawl and cry because we're so unworthy. Even after salvation, we're not thankful enough. But while below, we realize these blessings are in Christ Jesus. Through the preached word, we see our inabilities, our vileness, our corruptions, and we're made to see by the Holy Spirit's illumination ourselves, our Savior, and all things necessary unto salvation, pardon, and acceptance with our great and holy God. And we can enjoy this inheritance upon earth as the Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the sons of God. We can enjoy it. You know, years ago, I'm not going to mention any names, but there was a couple that was a part of us for many, many years. They never smiled, just stoic and just nothing. Where's the joy? Where was the excitement? Where was, you know, I'm not saying you'd be giddy, and some people emotionally, they're, you know, we're all different in different areas. But these folks, they just never, ever smiled. Now, maybe because they were school teachers. I don't know. I'm just kidding. We, by 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, though we have varying degrees of trials and difficulties, we know whom we have believed, and we are persuaded that he is able to keep that which we've committed unto him. We know that, and therefore we're glad. So this inheritance, it's in time, but it's also in eternity. It'll be the full possession of our chief love, will be Christ. Be no more tears, as this passage said up in a few verses. No more tears, no more sorrows, no more trials. Satan will be eliminated completely. No more weak flesh to hinder. No more worldly inclinations to tempt us and try us. Just pure, uninhibited worship and hymns, all giving glory to God in the highest. That's what we're going to inherit. But as I looked at this, I kind of skipped over the first part because some people say, well, there's me, he that overcometh, so I got to go, I got to get to it. That's actually overcoming. It's like Peter, unto whom coming, we continue to come to Christ. We don't get baptized and then that's it, never see you again. No, it's a confession of a good conscience and obeying what the Lord says. He that believeth and is baptized. But it's just the same thing. He that overcometh, is overcoming. Well, maybe we're not sure or comfortable with that first part of the verse. To him that overcometh. Well, like anything, the word interprets itself. Go to the word and see what the word says. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Here's the answer. We'll start in verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? There's one. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. Inherit all things. There's two. Who shall lay anything in the charge of God? It's God that justifies. The world, yourself, your flesh, Satan. There's answer number three. Who is that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He continually makes intercession for us. Why? Because he says he would and we need it. Answer number four. Five. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress? How about persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors, overcomers, through him that loved us. There's the answer. To him that overcometh, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Oh, and incidentally, Paul was persuaded that death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present or things to come, nor height, depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We're heirs. And the inheritance goes, you can't separate them. It goes right along together. So my question is, before I look at this last verse, the sobering, are you, am I, are we in Christ? Are we in Christ? Do we love him? Do we believe him? Do we trust him? Not trust ourselves. Not in the slightest. Trust him without delay. I implore you, I beseech you, as though God did beseech you by us. Be reconciled to God. Because if not, look at verse 8. But there's always two sides. There's grace and there's wrath. But the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There's no middle road. There's one way to glory, and there's one way to hell. But the fearful, I've never been a murderer, I'm not a whoremonger. Well, spiritually, yes, we are. Yes, we are. If our life is not devoted singularly, a divided heart can't stand. It's not Christ plus something, this or Christ plus mammon, no. But if you can't check the list off, just all liars, that's us. So we're guilty. Trust in him. Look to him. Believe on him. And you're an heir. You have the inheritance. What more could we ask for? Amen. Amen. Brian, would you close us?
Congregation, Lord, pray that you grant us fellowship.